Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your standing by. Welcome to Euskaltel First Half 2015 Results Investor Call. The management of Euskaltel will run you through the presentation materials that can be found at Euskaltel's website, which will be followed by a question and answer session. You can ask a question by phone by pressing 01 on your telephone keypad. I am now pleased to introduce Mr. Francisco Arteche, CEO of Euskaltel. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone, and good morning to those joining from the U.S. Thanks for being with us today. I'm Francisco Arteche, the CEO of Euskaltel, and I'm here together with Jonander de las Fuentes, our CFO, as well as Aitor Marcaida, our Head of Investor Relations. Today, we will review our financial results for the first half of 2017, discuss key business developments, and walk you through a few trends that are affecting our business. Following those remarks, we'll host a Q&A session. As an opening statement, we announced two days ago the closing of the acquisition of Telecable. We're very excited about bringing Telecable into our perimeter and to start executing a strategy for the enlarged Euskaltel Group that will deliver midterm growth and value creation to our shareholders. With respect to today's presentation, and given that closing has taken place after June the 30th, we have not included any reference to Telecable results or pro forma consolidated information. More importantly, we're now, or from now on, entitled to work truly and lengthy on the integration of Telecable and on the strategic three-year plan for the enlarged Euskaltel Group. Therefore, we are planning to host an analyst and investor workshop at the beginning of November to present our strategic plan and review our midterm objectives, adapted to the new market circumstances and the company's scale. We would be very pleased to host you. Our investor relation team will be leading the schedule and logistics after the summer. I've said before, today's presentation will cover only a review of our business in Basque Country and Galicia, and we will disclose operating and financial data as of first half of 2017. I will start with a brief introduction of the two key relevant points of the period that we should bear in mind. First of all, I'd like to remark that we continue to operate in a tough competitive environment, as seen and said in previous presentations. We have, however, demonstrated our stickiness and ability to defend our market share against competitors that are investing heavily, no matter whether it's FTTH overlap or TV content such as football. It is also true that our top-line performance reflects the difficulties and competition in the market. Our revenues in the first six months have been clearly eroded by our commercial response in terms of discounts to the promotional campaigns of the competitors in Q1. Our top-line ARPU reflects the commercial effort, but we expect a brighter second half of the year as promotions, generally six-month promotions, are finishing and a new bundled commercial offer has been already launched end of June. Secondly, I'd like to remark that a significant event impacting the number of subscribers in the period has been the Hot migration in Galicia. It has proven to be more painful than what we had expected, preventing churn from improving as planned. As we will see later on in the presentation, we've been working hard on this, and we've already started the upgrading of all our customer base from 3G to 4G, and we expect this impact to be already overcome. Let's move to slide one to cover in more detail the performance of the business in the period. Looking firstly at our top-line performance. Residential revenue grew 0.4% year-on-year, driven by a slight ARPU growth. Churn ratios have been impacted by the aggressive competitive landscape, facing fully deployed FTTH networks and aggressive promotional campaigns. In the Basque Country, it is important to say our most competitive environment, we've managed to keep our number of fixed customers, whilst Galician net subscribers figure has been hit in the semester by two effects. On one hand, the one-off impact of the mobile host migration that I mentioned that has evolved worse than what we expected by the end of the first quarter. And then on the other hand, the seasonality impact of disconnections related to the end of the academic course within the students' population. We have increased our TV services by 9,000 new lines. We have also increased mobile lines by 35,000, reaching a record high penetration of 80%. As a result of this, ARPU has grown 0.6 euros year on year, which is a 1% growth year on year. According to our plans, this growth should have been higher, probably close to a 3%. But competitive intensity in Q1 forced us to employ heavier promotions that have eroded the ARPU trend. We've launched our new bundled offer following the more for more strategy that, together with the end of promotional period, should restore in the second half the healthy trend we had in previous quarters and translate into an increase in residential revenues of at least 2% half over half. Business segment revenues still reflect the full year impact of the loss of the Basque government contract in large accounts. Accounts for over 5 million in the first half of 2017, and ARPU deflation in SMEs. As we have repeatedly said, this is an area of focus and plans are in place. Although it is still preliminary, we are starting to see a positive adoption of our recent initiatives, the new SME bundles, cloud and data center projects, and other added value services. And we expect, for the first time in a while, some initial growth in business revenues by the end of the year. As an example of our initiatives within this segment, we have already won the extension of our largest account in Galicia, Xunta, or the Galician government, until 2020. The second element in this slide is cost management and synergy delivery. Thanks to our focus on cost management, the EBITDA margin has grown from 48.7% in the previous year to hit 49.4% in this first half. Especially satisfactory is the evolution of direct costs, down 10% versus previous year, driven by an efficient mobile interconnection and less handset costs, improving gross margin from 75.5% to 77.4%. However, due to some regulatory changes occurred during June that include two Supreme Court rulings and the 2017 general budget, Euskaltel is now subject to the payment of the Spanish public TV financing fee. Let me explain. According to the law, telecom companies operating in more than one autonomous community have to contribute to the financing of the Spanish public television. According to the recent changes, a group of telecom companies like us, Euskaltel, would be subject to the same obligation. And as a consequence, we have provisioned in our accounts the corresponding amount. For 2017, 2.2 million are included in the direct costs. And then, as an extraordinary expense, 4.6 million for 2016. None of them have impacted cash yet. As explained, the main source of this efficient cost performance is the delivery as planned of the R-Cable synergies. The execution plan comprising more than 22 projects is crystallizing into substantial savings at cruise speed. Then thirdly, we keep a superior cash conversion rate that is reflected in an operating cash flow margin of 32.8% as of the first half, well above our competitors. That's enabled by an efficient CapEx management that has been in line with guidance, that is below 17% of revenues, and it's resulting in an operating cash flow of around 92 million euros generated in the first half, allowing for a deleverage down to 4.2 times EBITDA. During this year, Euskaltel has also distributed 54.6 million in dividends against 2016 results, that translated into 0.36 euros per share, split in 0.15 paid in February and 0.21 paid in July. Finally, we should remind that the closing of Telecable has occurred on the 26th of July. Following the approval of the respective governing bodies and antitrust clearance, and with no major deviation over previously communicated conditions, we will show consolidated figures as of August 2017. Let's now move to page 2. And here, let me quickly summarize our reported consolidated results for the first half compared to those of last year. Our total revenue decreased by 2.3% year-on-year, closing at 279.3 million euros. As we will see in the next slides, this negative performance is essentially driven by the loss of one of our main large accounts. Our EBITDA reached 137.9 million, with a margin improvement of more than 65 basic points versus last year, reaching a 49.4%. To make an accurate comparison year over year, if we excluded the impact of the Spanish public TV fee from last year's EBITDA figure, it would have grown year over year by 0.6%. Our operating cash flow stood at 91.7 million euros, representing a 2.1% decrease versus last year. We expect our focus on disciplined capex management, sitting at 16.5% of revenues in the semester, in line with the guidance communicated. Our EBIT amounted to 62.0 million, which is minus 5.2% year over year, as a consequence not only of lower revenues, but also an increase in D&A of 2.6% up to 75.9 million, as a consequence of higher customer losses. Our net income in the first half has been impacted by extraordinary items, including the recognition in our P&L of 4.6 million for the public TV financing fee corresponding to the full year 2016, and 3.9 million related to the optimization of the organizational structure. We will analyze all these key items in detail in the coming slides, so let me hand over to Yonander to cover the operational and financial slides.
Thank you, Patxi. Good afternoon to everyone. Turning to page 3, let me summarize the evolution of our top line that we will cover in following pages. Our total revenue dropped by 2.3% versus the same period of last year, reaching close to 279.3 million euros in the first half of 2017. The chart on the right illustrates revenue performance in the last year, which has been mainly supported by the growth in the residential segment, more than the 0.4% year over year, on the back of increased number of RGUs, more than 1.7%, an ARPU improvement of 1% year over year. This growth has been more than compensated by the negative evolution of the business segment, minus 8.9%, mainly explained by the loss of the Basque government contract. Let's now move to page 4 to see the evolution of the residential segment in more detail. Our residential subscriber base reached 465,500 subscribers at the end of the quarter, but let's break down the reasons behind this trend. In the Basque Country, we have managed to maintain our market share, and net subscribers addition has been in line with our commitment. Customers loss in Galicia worsened by the host migration still impacting the second quarter of 2017, as mentioned by Patxi at the beginning of the presentation. To solve these problems, we have already started the upgrading of our customers from 3G to 4G, up to 60% for August, improving the user experience thanks to the better throughput and mitigating cell bracing and saturation problems in peak hours and crowded areas. In light of these actions, and based on what we are observing in the last weeks, we could state that that the negative impact as a consequence of the house migration is already finished. University students ending their contracts in Galicia being a pure seasonal effect. In the third quarter, we expect to see these disconnections reverted. I think it's important to recall that last year, 2016, which was our first year of air cable integration, we finished the exercise with positive net adds in Galicia. Under a further competitive environment and following the saturation issues of the migration, we don't think that we will be able to repeat this mark in 2017. But we definitely expect to minimize the net losses in the following months. Churn rate in the first half stood at 15%, almost 14% excluding the impact of the host migration in air cable. Now, turning on to slide 5, you will see that our successful mobility and bundling strategy continues to drive our ARPU growth despite current market pressure. If you have a look at the first chart on the left, you will see that our mobility strategy results in more than 35,000 new mobile lines in the year, more than 4.8%. And as of today, over 79% of our residential customers have at least one mobile phone with Euskaltel versus less than 76% 1 year before. The chart in the middle shows that Euskaltel bundling strategy continues to deliver sustained growth in upselling with triple and quadruple play penetration reaching 66.7% and broadband and TV penetration reaching record highs at 84.4% and 58.9% respectively. As a consequence of our increasing mobile penetration and bundling strategy, jointly with upselling linked to an improved value offer to our customers, ARPU has grown to 58.9 euros in the quarter, implying more than 60 cents of euro or 1% growth previous year. And finally, it's important to highlight the market trends towards a more for more strategy. Within the operators pursuing this strategy, Euskaltel has been during the first half of 2017, if not the most, one of the most conservative in terms of price increase and product upselling. In addition to that, competitive pressure forced us to use heavier than expected promotions which already eroded our ARPU evolution. As a consequence of these two effects, our current residential ARPU is more than 1 euro below our plan. As an evidence of our capability to react to the movement of the market, in the last weeks of June we launched a renewed bundle offer, narrowing the gap in price and value with our main competitor. Now, turning on to slide 6, let me hand over to the word to Patxi to review the new initiatives implemented in our TV strategy service with its key in our strategy of value and service.
Thank you. As I stated before, during the first half we experienced a strong performance in the number of TV RGUs, which increased by 9,000 year-on-year or a 3.5% increase. It is a result of our strategy based on high-value TV functionalities like MPVR, video on demand, start over, another enhanced experience, but also the premium content that has driven an increase in customer intake and satisfaction. We have successfully launched at the beginning of July the most advanced set-top box in the Spanish market, which is Android-based, to enjoy the best of two worlds. The best apps like YouTube, TED, music, games, sport, and all the possibilities to develop local content on Android, together with an enhanced TV content new experience. Besides, it enjoys 4K technology, so delivers four times more detail than HD. But the new set-top box is more than a great device. It's the symbol of our TV philosophy, empowering our customers through the advanced features to enjoy premium content in the way they want and whenever they want. At this moment, two-thirds of our pay TV customers make use of these advanced features. Going forward, our approach to content investment will remain flexible, disciplined, focused on customer value, and very open to market opportunities. Yander, do you want to cover the business segment?
Of course, Patsy. Thanks. Now, turning on to page 7, total business revenue stood at 78 million euros, which represents a 7.6 million euros drop versus last year, mainly explained by the loss of the past government contract. Soho segment revenue has remained flat in the period, reflecting a similar behavior to that of the residential segment. This evolution in Soho customers is the consequence of net additions in the period in the Basque Country offset by a slight decrease in Galicia, and the consistent increase in triple and quadruple play, bundle penetration from 51.7% in the first half of 2016 to 56.4% in this semester. We are fully conscious of the necessity to implement new initiatives aiming to strengthen the SMEs and large account subsegments, and in this area we have launched our first examples of the new standardized bundles for SMEs, improving not only the product but also the process, customization, customer support after the installation, etc. And in the next week, we will be launching new bundles of telecoms, security and data center services targeting SME segments. In this context, we can say that we have captured new SMEs business volume better than in previous periods and expect its associated revenue to be materialized in the coming months. Let's see in the following page our EBITDA performance in the period. As you can see on page 8, in the chart on the left, EBITDA was 138 million euros. Our EBITDA margin has reached 49.4%, representing a 65 basis points growth versus last year. Similarly, the chart on the right shows the EBITDA growth contributors. The mentioned revenue decrease subtracted 6.7 million euros of EBITDA versus last year. Our focus on direct cost has compensated this reduction with its positive contribution of 6.9 million euros to EBITDA, with a cost reduction of 9.9% versus last year, mainly driven by a more efficient mobile interconnection cost management, less handset cost, and rational TV content strategy. Additionally, the commercial and fixed costs have decreased by 1.7 million euros. As a result of this, the EBITDA dropped by 1.5 million euros in the last year, representing a decrease of 1%, with EBITDA margin growing 65 basis points to 49.4%. For the second half of the year, we expect a progressive recovery in the EBITDA absolute figure, helped by the better performance of the top line. Let's now review in the following page our CAPEX and cash flow performance. On page 9, the left-hand side graph illustrates the CAPEX evolution, which is progressively converging to mid-term target levels, reaching 16.5% over revenue in the first half 2017. Let me highlight that our CAPEX investment in DOCSIS 3.1 technology have enabled to coverage of 28% of our client base as of the first half 2017 as initially planned. If we zoom in the Basque Country, DOCSIS 3.1 coverage has reached 42% in the first 6 months. The chart on the right shows the evolution of the operating cash flow for the first half, which stood at 92 million euros, representing a conversion of close 33% over sales and approximately 67% over EBITDA. for the second half of the year as a result of the expected evolution of the EBITDA and a disciplined CAPEX management, 2017 operating cash flow figure should be close to that of 2016. Turning to page 10, on the chart on the left you can see that as a result of the strong operating cash flow, the generated free cash flow in the first half 2017 amounted to 61 million euros. Once we deduct 21 million euros from financial expenses, 7 million euros from working capital requirements, and 3 million euros from taxes. As a result of our consistent cash conversion, we have managed to progressively reduce our leverage, which at the end of the period stood at 4.2 times. Turning to page 11, we will give you the details about the closing of the acquisition of Telecable. It's a pleasure for us to say that Telecable de Asturias is today a reality within the Euskaltel Group. The closing has occurred on 26 July, following the approval of respective governing bodies and antitrust clearance, and with no major deviation over previously communicated conditions. The consideration for Telecable, once net debt is deducted, consists of a combination of shares and cash as follows. 255 million euros in new shares of Euskaltel, implying the issuance of 26.8 million Euskaltel shares at 9.50 euros per share, that will grant Sigona at a 15% stake in Euskaltel post-transaction. The estimated Telecable net debt and transaction-related expenses at closing stood at 255 million euros versus initial estimate of 245 million euros and subject to post-closing audit review. As a consequence, the cash payment to Sigona amounts to 176 million euros. It's important to remark that the structure will allow Euskaltel to keep its leverage post-closing at around 4.5 times EBITDA and to quickly deleverage down to around 4 times by the end of 2018, in line with our announced long-term leverage target. We also intend to maintain shareholder remuneration as previously announced, obviously subject to approval by Euskaltel shareholders, General Shareholders Meeting.
Thank you, Jon Ander. Moving on to the next slide, I would now like to reinforce the story elements that will set the foundation of our strategy going forward. Firstly, reinforcing our leadership by becoming the leading operator in the north of Spain, which is now a reality, as a platform for growth in adjacent new areas. Secondly, proximity through our deeply rooted local brands, Euskaltel, RE and Telecable, ensuring strong customer attachment. Thirdly, our state-of-the-art fully invested fiber network, providing best-in-class and ultimate services to our customers. Fourth, a strong resilient performance with a proven ability to strive in challenging market conditions and deliver sector top profitability and cash conversion metrics. Then, building on opportunities for further upside from pricing, upselling, cross-selling and increasing penetration. Also adding a specific strong focus on business segment with identified upside potential leveraging on the digital transformation opportunity. And an efficient and prudent financial structure combined with a superior cash conversion that allows us to sustain the shareholder remuneration policy and commitment previously announced to the market. And finally, the acquisition of Telecable has reinforced the current shareholding and corporate governance structure, consistent with our commitment to embrace best corporate governance practices. So lastly, let me finish this presentation, and before we start the Q&A session, let me conclude with some relevant remarks and review the previous guidance indications. First of all, I'd like to reiterate that we have faced a particularly challenging semester, given some specific and extraordinary impacts of discounted commercial offerings on cost migration. we observed that the latest trend of churn and ARPU supports our belief that the worst is already behind us, and we are confident it will be reflected in the future results presentation. But we want to remain cautious at this point. But also, we have explained in the presentation several organic initiatives that we expect can deliver interesting results in the coming quarters. For instance, we've already launched our Android-based set-top box with 4K capacity, and a new set of services willing to improve customer experience. We are meeting our objectives in terms of network quality and capacity through the DOCSIS upgrading. In the B2B space, we're launching more innovative bundles to capture new types of SME customers with enhanced functionalities, and we also expect some new relevant projects crystallizing in the second half of the year. As the impact of the Basque government contract loss will be progressively absorbed and the price deflation will be mitigated by the new value proposition, we will see business revenues growing year on year by the end of the year. Taking into account these effects, let me revisit the guidance stated at the beginning of the year for our current operation in Basque Country and Galicia. Full year revenues in 2017 will be close to those of 2016. EBITDA margin for the full year should improve as a result of our efficient cost management during the year, getting closer to our target of 50%. Our cash conversion metric will remain a sector top in line with previous statements and over 32% of revenues. And we expect to maintain our shareholders' remuneration in the terms previously announced to the market. But as I said at the beginning of the presentation, to talk about guidance and mid-term objectives, we must take Telecable into the equation. So once we have the consolidated results of the enlarged company, we will be very pleased to present to the market our strategic plan and revisit our mid-term objectives adapted to the new market circumstances and the company's scale. We look forward to talking to you again shortly. Now, we would be very pleased to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, the question and answer session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. We have a first question from Ricard Boada from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I have three questions, if I may. First, can you give us an update on how are the negotiations, or if there are any negotiations about renegotiating the wholesale mobile deal from Telecable with Telefonica, and if there's any upside on to the synergy target that was provided in the results call, which, if I'm not mistaken, is north of 50 million euros annually. Secondly, and related to wholesale, have you progressed on the conversations about potentially signing or expanding the fiber footprint with Orange or Telefonica? And then thirdly, do you have any sense of when the turnaround in B2B is going to start? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So very quickly on the negotiation of the wholesale mobile deal with Telefonica, I think as we bring on board Telecable and the teams, we'll be working with them on analyzing the details of the agreement. In our current plans, we do not have in scope a renegotiation of the Telefonica terms. So any negotiation would be a separate one for the Euskaltel and R versus the Telecable's current status. Regarding conversation with the fiber footprint, these conversations have been ongoing for a while now, and I think they're on a good path. I would probably refer to post-summer as we get closer to our Investors Day, where I think we'll be able to deliver a much deeper vision of our deals and intentions.
And lastly, on the B2B space, I think there's very good acceptance of the things and the initiatives we're launching on SMEs. We have a good situation by which we haven't lost any significant contract, either 2016 nor 2017. We're having a number of projects that could crystallize in the coming 6 to 9 months that are pretty relevant. So, and I recall that what I previously said is that the year where the trend would invert on B2B would be 2018. What I said today is probably it's likely that already at the end of this year we can see in the last quarter that trend reverted.
Thanks so much for the call.
You're welcome.
We now have a question from Noon Matir from Aeton Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
All right, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. The first is on MVNO with Orange. Have you been discussing with them any renegotiation of the terms for both ERE and from Euskaltel operations in the Basque country? Any updates on that? And just to clarify one of your comments on the guidance for this year, you said that you expect the operational cash flow to be more or less in the same level that last year. Just want to know if the CapEx number involved there, the CapEx guidance of 16.5% of revenues, still includes the investments that you plan to do on the new potential geographies that you might expand. Thank you.
Thank you, Nuno. Related to the contract, MVNO contract with Orange, I use the same words that Patxi has said related to the FTTH agreements. In a short period of time, probably we can give or announce additional news about that. As you know, every year we try to improve the conditions of the contract. This year is the same thing, and probably we can announce after the summer which type of additional agreements we could have related to the MVNO. And related to the CAPEX guidance, and if we are including in these numbers of 16.5% new projects and additionally conditions of network expansion, yes, we are including in this guidance all these figures.
Okay, very clear. Thanks.
We now have a question from Matthew Dottoni from JP Morgan. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Oh, good afternoon, sorry. Thanks very much for taking the questions. Firstly, can I just come back to what you were saying earlier in the call about the KPI trends? And I guess what I'm trying to understand is, when you spoke about the evolution over the last few quarters, I guess there's been a number of kind of items that have dragged on the performance. It sounded very much in Q1 that the host migration issues were over. I guess there has been some spillover now into Q2. Can you just maybe clarify exactly what's gone wrong with that, why it's dragged on for longer, and what gives you the conviction that it is just that and there's not, let's say, some sort of impact from the competitive issues that you've talked about as well that are quite prevalent through the Spanish market at the moment? The second question is around the guidance. You clarified that in H2 you're expecting the residential revenues to be up 2% half on half, which means about 70 basis points growth year over year. Can I just clarify if that's right? And if I am right, you've also talked about B2B getting to growth by the end of the year. Those sort of building blocks don't get me to the flat full year revenue growth that you've talked about. It would seem to imply more like minus 1% for the full year. So maybe can you, if I'm wrong there, if you could maybe just walk me through where you think I'm wrong and where maybe you're more optimistic than where I'm coming out to. And when you're talking about guidance, are you here reiterating your midterm targets, or are you effectively saying that you're going to leave those for now and come back to those later in the year and, let's say, re-talk about them on the new consolidation parameter? And then the very final thing, just on the TV side of things, You've obviously talked about this new TV impact that you have on the broadcast side. Can I just clarify, does the both the Q1 and the Q2 numbers for EBITDA in 17 accommodate for the cost of that within the EBITDA that you reported, or have you just made some adjustment in the Q2 only? Thanks a lot.
Okay. So let me take some of you talked about the host migration. So the host migration has taken longer in the sense that it opened a number of aggressive promotions from our competitors, and those promotions lasted longer in time. There's a second element, which is we realized, as we mentioned before, that there were opportunities to improve the quality of the services to our customers. And as part of that quality improvement, we took the decision to move everyone from 3G to 4G because there's a significant quality improvement, avoiding the 3G ticketing impact that you can have when some networks get more saturated. So now we are moving everyone to 4G. There's a number, there's around 100,000, I think, I recall, of those consumers that have now a 3G phone. So we're also putting in place plans for upgrading these 3G phones to 4G. So that's going to be happening in the next weeks and couple of months, and it will have a double effect. So it will basically upgrade a lot of consumers to the new service and the quality of 4G communication, and it's going to solve and deliver a much better service than what we had before. That's why it has somehow lasted a little bit longer. And in parallel, beyond the move from 3G to 4G, we've been working with our host partner to make sure that the deployment of new antennas and the coverage in areas like the seaside and so on was implemented in advance of this summer period. Regarding the second guidance, I don't know, Yolanda, you might want to add something, but yes, so we're saying that growth second half versus first half should be around the 2%. When I talk about the change in business segment trends, I'm referring to the end of the year, not to the second half as a whole. So I think Q3 potentially could be slightly below. I think Q4 could be the first quarter we will see business growing. I think that should fit within the total numbers. We can work in parallel with some of these numbers. I don't know if you... I'm not sure I understood the TV question.
If you can repeat the second part of your questions about the TV and the extraordinary items, please.
Yeah, of course. So on the TV side, I guess I was just asking if the costs that you referred to on the CRTV fee, if they're accommodated in both the Q1 17 and Q2 17 EBITDA figures that you've disclosed. And actually, just to follow up on the guidance comment, which I appreciate the color around, I guess what I'm also asking for is, are you reiterating your current midterm guidance at the same time here? Thanks.
Okay. Now, in that sense, as we said, the total effect of this new Spanish public television cost has been around 4.6 million euros related to the 2016, and we have included 2.3 million euros in direct costs related to 2017. The calculation, as we said, is based on the total revenues of on TV products and a different percentage about the total revenues of all the customer base. And the impact, we expect a similar impact for the second half of 2007 that we have included in the first half of this year. Obviously, it's a provision because we don't have a final decision of the authorities, and it's true that this impact has been communicated in the last 2 weeks of June, and this is the main reason because we never have been speaking about that. And if you can read what we have published in the previous annual reports, we always said that this type of rules or obligations were applied in all the operators when 75 or in our case we had 75 or more of the electronic communications operating only in a single autonomous community, and this is our real situation just now. In that case, we are out of the scope of this type of rules. No? Now they have decided that this limit is probably not going to be applied, and we have a real threat to be support this new fees, and this is the reason because we have made this provision in our accounts during this first half. But it's true that the probability to be a final decision and impact is really high.
And then lastly, regarding our midterm guidance, I don't think we're saying we're withdrawing from our commitment. We're saying that there are many conditions that are changing in the market, that there's a new member in the family, in the Scarlet family, that is Telecable, that brings a number of opportunities, amongst others. So we're referring to the meeting and investor day we will have. By then, we'll have a more consolidated plan for the whole group with our vision midterm. And obviously, in there, you will be able to say what the vision says for Euskaltel and are independently of Telecable, so we'll be able to match and compare the two of them.
That's helpful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The following question is from Mathieu Robillard from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking the questions. First, you mentioned in your prepared remark the increased competition, which is a surprise clearly, but if you could give us a little bit of color into where you see most of that competition happening in terms of the consumer segment. Is it low end? Is it high end? Are you feeling it a bit more also on the corporate B2B segment? And generally, are you already seeing some players leverage on the wholesale fiber agreements or propositions that Telefonica have and that can enable them to go into your market without having their own infrastructure? So that's the first question. Maybe on the CRTV fee, I just wanted to clarify for my purpose that this was already included in all the guidances you had given before. If that's not the case, are you basically offsetting it by stronger cost cutting on other items? And then lastly, and I realize that you will update the guidance for the midterm, but I was curious when you mentioned in a previous presentation, I think it was May, that CapEx to sale guidance for the midterm should be around 17%. I just wanted to understand the building blocks there, and very specifically, does that include a recurring increase in homes passed and expansion of out of footprint? or is that kind of a recurring maintenance CapEx level that you think is necessary for your business? Thank you.
Yes, let me start covering the questions from the beginning. You were talking about the increased competition. So I do not think the competition, we do not see the competition coming from the low end for a couple of reasons. When we look at who we lose consumers to, low end players are a minimal part. It's also linked to our positioning in terms of high value customers. So that is not where in the numbers we see the threat is coming from, which is a reassurance given some of the new players and the aggressivity that is appearing in the market. I think it's in the mid-high end where the competition is coming from. We're getting a more aggressive competition from Vodafone, and the main driver of that competition, Vodafone, is the fact that beyond the fact that they have announced increases in their tariffs, they are being extremely aggressive in the offers that are making to consumers that want to migrate. So in front of that, we keep reinforcing our loyal install base. We keep looking at the different motivations between the people that we can or might lose to the different players like Telefonica or Vodafone that have a different motivation. And we're building plans to reply or prevent with a specific plans in place, in this case, versus the Vodafone's aggressive stance. But one of the things that we are going to be much more measured on after the experience in the first quarter is we'll be much more careful in terms of how aggressive we become in terms of spending money on a number of churners that end up taking a lot of money from the business. Regarding the B2B segment, we're not seeing a particularly strong competition in the B2B segment. So we remain confident that for us, it's an open opportunity. We are making progress. I think it's a timing thing because the new products and bundles we've been releasing have just released in July, the first of those bundles, because we're setting up new services regarding data center and the upgrade of higher security tier data center levels. And we're working on deals and offering new services that combine the hybrid cloud with the in-house. And that these things are going to be in place between August and September. So I think we will be seeing by the end of the year a lot of traction in there. And in terms of the wholesale fiber, I don't recall what the question was.
So maybe it's early days, but I mean, do you expect or are you seeing already some players use the wholesale fiber agreement with TEF to be more competitive in the areas where you are?
Yeah, sorry, yes. So we do not see that, as I said. I mean, in the same way that I said one of the most aggressive competitors was Vodafone, we were expecting Vodafone to reach around an 80% coverage in our regions. So that was already built into the equation. We're not expecting that is going to be a changing element or a changing driver in the equation. It would be more the previous things that I've said. Regarding the TBE tax, so it was initially it was not included in our plans, but when we talk about our current guidance for the year, it's because we are offsetting the impact of that with other areas of savings and efficiencies. And the last question was around CapEx. CAPEX, so the 17% CAPEX guidance is including a certain level of expansion yet, but yes, both in Galicia and in the Basque Country. And what we said at the same time is that it would include an investment up to 10 million to deploy in adjacent areas and so on. So the answer is yes, these things are included in the 17% guidance.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We now have a question from Ioneal from BBVA. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good morning everybody. Thanks for taking my question. Just to clarify a bit what you just say, Patrick, on the competitive landscape. Out of the 4,000 net losses in Galicia, you would attribute all of that to the host migration, or you think there's something coming from competition? And maybe the second one, I think your convergent entry price now is at 53 euros versus the low-cost entry price at 40 euros. I just inferred from previous questions that you don't feel you need to match that low-cost pricing because your market is not there, am I right?
Okay. So regarding the 4,000 loss, our estimation is that half of that is coming from the two reasons that we have mentioned as one-offs. 40% would be coming from the host migration, and 10% would be coming from the students, which is an advance of the migration that would normally have happened in the following quarter. If we take the remaining 50%, I think that would have left us with something like a 14% churn or something that would be at the more acceptable level. And then the other question was...
If you need to match the 40 euros converging entry price that we've seen from Lowy and, you know, recently Telefonica, which is 45.
So, yeah, so it's an interesting move to see that now they're launching a much more aggressive offer, but today we have not really seen an impact in terms of consumer behavior. In fact, our latest numbers are showing more like the opposite, in that we keep winning, in the last weeks, we keep winning customers to Telefonica. I'm not dismissing it as a threat. I'm just saying that as of today, we're not seeing that offer taking traction. We'll keep following very close on whether it requires further reaction from our side. But so far, we haven't seen that.
Okay. And maybe be the last one. I don't know if you could share with us what are the trends in Asturias on subscriber base. Is it stable or...?
We don't have yet. Okay. Unfortunately, you know that the final closing of the deal was done 2 days ago. We'll need some time to delve into the numbers and the detail to be able to speak and make quality comments about the Telecables business. Sorry.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
We now have a question from Julio Simiegas from RBC. Please go ahead, sir.
O sea, pongo la pregunta 10 minutos antes del esto y me pasa.
Hello.
Yes, you have the floor. Yeah.
I see that 4P penetration actually has increased quite a lot. You are at quite high levels. We see that broadband growth is quite limited now. How is the company going to drive revenue growth, having in mind that 4G penetration is high? And my second question is regarding the trading update in terms of broadband growth, because I remember that in the last call, when we were talking about the issues of the migration, I think we heard a very similar message in terms that things actually were getting better. But the reality is that now we see some difficult situations in Asturias. So should we expect now broadband growth in the coming quarters? Thank you.
going to the first question, I don't know if it referred to residential or both residential and business, but the main sources of growth that we are going to find when we build the plans, and as we have built the plans for the coming years, we still think there is an element of growth in terms of ARPU that is going to be adding new services and riding some of the opportunities that will pop up in the market. Now, the component in ARPU increase is going to be a double one. It will bring loyalty as well as a monetization that could be slightly lower than the monetization of the current services we have. The second one is already within our current regions. We are seeing opportunities to keep deploying some additional fiber network, both in the Basque Country but also in Galicia, as we can fix some of the solutions in terms of the way geography is set up in Galicia. So we will be having controlled deployments both in the Basque Country and in Galicia. And then one of the things that I've mentioned, and I did mention in my call, is one of the other things that we are considering building in, as a growth element, is the deploying in adjacent or neighboring areas. To this one, I will refer to our presentations that we will be making in November, and maybe some things that we could be advancing slightly before that, but that's certainly an element of growth. And lastly, a lot of that referred to residential and business, but mostly residential. We do see an opportunity to grow on business when we talk about the mid-long term, building on the role that we can play on companies and enterprises regarding the digital transformation. We can see that when we approach them, we get a very good reception in terms of being able to offer additional value-added services directly from their telecom partner. I didn't answer the trading broadband growth. Whether we expected, when you said whether we expected broadband growth, you meant in the market or as Euskaltel?
Euskaltel group in general.
Yes. The answer is yes. We see a level of growth that will be related to some of the elements that I've just mentioned.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We now have a question from Juan Marco Bonaccio from Equita. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Just a couple of quick questions. I heard before you said that you expect flat sales for the full year, does it imply about 3% growth for residential in the second half? The other question is about the consolidation effect of Telecable. Can we assume for the second half the basically revenues and EBITDA to be kind of stable versus last year, or what did you factor in? When you discussed the deal, what kind of assumption you made for 2017? Thank you.
So, I mean, regarding the first one, yes, residential revenues in second half should be growing between a 2% and 3%. And now, I'm so, apologies, but I didn't get the second question.
No, just if you can help us a little bit, because we are going now to consolidate Telecable. I understood that the closing was a couple of days ago, also in terms of the financing. So from beginning of August, so for the Q3, when you will present the figures, there will be also revenues and the BDA from Telecable. So just to have a run rate for sales and the BDA for our model, can we assume basically the figures of last year kind of stable, or shall we consider any positive or negative deviation to this? Thank you.
No, I don't think there will be a negative deviation. You can assume as a baseline same levels as last year, yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have no further questions. sir. We have no further question. The floor is yours.
Okay, so thank you everyone for your time. Like I said at the beginning of the call, it's a moment where competition is particularly intense, but we think we have overcome the worst fear of the year. There's a lot of initiatives that are in place that are going to be showing some of these results, and I think on top of that, what is important is that this Investor Day we're organizing in November is going to give you a much more in-depth view of all the plans and the three-year strategic plan that we have for the company, where we want to take it and how we want to exploit the opportunities we've been mentioning in terms of business, in terms of expansion, and in terms of all the different areas. So I would say that we will stay tuned for the news between now and November. Thank you very much, everyone, for your attendance.